Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Savior, why don't you give him some praise? If he's your Savior, why don't you give him some glory? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Worthy to be praised. Worthy to be exalted. We just thank him for his goodness. We thank him, hallelujah, for his mercy and his grace. Give God some more glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just want to thank and praise the Lord just for being here on this morning. I just want to thank and praise him just for being behind the sacred desk, and I just want to thank and praise God, this Clergy Appreciation Month. Just thanking for our pastor and the person of Bishop Gerald Haynes and First Lady Haynes. Let's give them God the glory for them. And truly we are grateful and we know that we're blessed with such great anointed people of God. And I'm just thankful to be here. I just want to come this morning just to try to really relay some words that I hope will be encouraging, and just pray that God will continue to move in each and every one of our lives. So I'd like to call to your attention this morning. We'll be looking at Daniel, the third chapter. The 18th through the 20th verse. That's Daniel 3, 18 through 20. If you have it, if you could rest on your feet for the reading of the word of God. But if you can't for whatever reason, we understand. And it reads, but if not, let me just go up to the 16th verse. I'll start reading Daniel 3. Start at the 16 through 20. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, our little G-O-D-S's, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it want to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. I just want to, a brief topic just to help you to remember this message. And it's simply kept by the power of God. You may be seated. Most holy and everlasting God, Lord, we thank you and we honor you and we exalt you. And we give you glory, Lord God, because of who you are. And we just thank you, Lord God, for just this day and all that you have done. And we just pray, Lord God, that you will open up, Lord God, our understandings and let the word fall on good ground, O God. We just praying, Lord God, that your will be done on the day. Help me to decrease as you increase. And let all the glory, Lord God, be given unto thee. And Lord God, we thank you and we praise you and we honor you this day and even forevermore. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just want to try to give a little backdrop of what was going on in this time. And I was thinking to myself, I got to get on I-20. Can't afford to take any back roads because we got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. So as we look at this backdrop of what was going on at this time, it says in the third year, the first book of Daniel, Daniel 1, it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. I said that, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Small G-O-D. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the men of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning, in the knowledge and the understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's place, in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among them were the children of Judah, which was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and of to Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. But it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank thereof. He requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart. Now, to purpose means to have determination. It means to be steadfast. To purpose means to have backbone, to have enthusiasm, to have conviction, to have commitment. So Daniel purposed in his heart. I think Mother Wither said it like this. He said, my mind is fixed and my heart is made up. We got to be willing to go on with Jesus anyhow. But this is what he was facing as they stood at this particular time. And just to paraphrase a little, you know, God gave Daniel favor in the eyes of the master of the eunuchs. And Daniel told him, you know, I don't want to defile myself. He said, well, just give us pulse and water and we'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But he said, Daniel, so I don't know about that because, you know, at the end of this time, I got to bring y'all before the king, and I can't afford to have y'all come in there and your face is all sunk in and you looking worse than the other people because it's going to be my head on the chopping block. And here Daniel said, well, just give us 10 days. You give us 10 days and you decide. So that's what, you know, he agreed to do. And so it says that when he did these things, and at 13, it says, 1 and 15, it says, and at the end of the days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. And 19 says, and the king communed with Daniel, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Now, it was God that allowed them to be drawn away or to be besieged and come to this faraway place. So it was God is going to be the one that was going to keep them at this appointed time. So here it was, you know, and as we go on to the second chapter, and it talks about that Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he had a dream. He had a dream to the point where the dream disturbed him. He was disturbed in his mind. You know, he was just troubled in his spirit. So he ordered all the musicians and all the wise men, ordered all of them to come in and to interpret and reveal the dream that he had. But it was only one problem. Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, but he couldn't remember what the dream was. So here it is. He was telling them to, not only do I want you to reveal what I dream, but I want you to interpret what I dream. And he was so in a rage and so mad, and he said, if you don't, this wasn't going to happen to you. I'm going to cut you in pieces. And your house shall be made a dunghill. You talking about being under pressure. So here it is. You know, he was upset. He was in a rage. He was full of fury because he wanted this dream interpreted that he couldn't himself even reveal to them what he had dreamed. So, you know, as it came to, you know, he ordered all the wise men to be destroyed. So this thing came to the ears of Daniel, and as they were telling him, he was saying, like, Daniel said, well, he asked him, you know, why is the king's decree so hasty? So they gave him the 411 on what the king had said and what was going to be done. So Daniel said, well, just give me some time, and I'll reveal to the king what the dream was. So as they go on and here it is that it says that God gave Daniel the interpretation. Because when he had received that news, him and his friends went, and they went before God. And they went before God and asking God to reveal what this thing was, that they were, so they won't be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So when God gave Daniel the revelation of what the dream was, this is what Daniel said. He said in Daniel, the second chapter, 20 through 23, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and set up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge unto them that know understanding. He said that he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. He said, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matters. So God gave him a revelation and all the interpretation of what the king's dream was. So now we find in that Daniel revealed the dream, and he told the king that it was this great image that thou hast. And he broke down and told him that the head was of this great image was of fine gold, the breast and the arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, and his legs were of iron. His feet were iron of clay and clay. So, and the thing about it is, when he told the king, and your head was this great, you were the head of this great image. So I don't know if that was the cause of what caused the king to build this great image, or what inspired him to build this image, but you know, here we get to where the text was coming from. It says in the third chapter, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princesses and the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So he's calling them from all over and come to this dedication that got something I want to reveal to you. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princesses, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, and they came to the dedication with the king, the image, the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes and the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, and sheriffs, and all the rulers, they were gathered together into this dedication. Then it says in the fourth verse, then an herald cried aloud. Okay, I got all of y'all here, and this is what I want you to do. And herald cried aloud. He said, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then he said, and whoso falleth not down, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. Therefore, he told him at the time that all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But there was three that didn't bend the knee. You mean to tell me out of all of these people that come to this dedication, that was three of them that didn't bow? So you know how it is in this day and time. Somebody is always watching. Somebody is always looking. As we said before, the observers are watching you. And in this day and time, not only are they watching, they're recording. So they ran back to the king, the Chaldeans, and ran back to the king and said, oh, king, did you not say that everybody was to bow down and worship this image that you have set up? And the king said, that's true. They said, but there were three Jews that you have placed over some of the affairs of the provinces that have not bowed down, as you have stated. So, you know, the king was angry, furious. I think he had some anger issues. He could have used some little anger management. But he was angry. He was furious. And he caused them to be calling to him. In other words, he said, did y'all not bow down and worship the gods that and golden image that I've set up? He said, now, you know, because I don't know, you know, maybe because he had put them over some of the affairs, so, you know, maybe that's why he had given them a second chance. Well, maybe, you know, they didn't understand what he was saying, or maybe they just didn't understand, you know, what they were supposed to do. So we're going to try this again. We're going to try this one more time. And this is what the king told him. He said, after they brought him to him, he said, now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now, I want to make it known and plain to you that he wasn't asking that just to get a reference name as to who it is that is going to deliver you. But in his arrogance, what he was saying, there's nobody that is able to deliver you out of my hand. I have the power to destroy you. So who is that God that will deliver you out of thine hand? Now, here's what these fellas say. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, the thing about it is, you know, these fellas, you know, they wasn't from that land, so they had some good home training. And their good home training taught them, according to Deuteronomy 5 and 7, that thou shalt have none other gods before me. All right. Their home training taught them, according to Deuteronomy 5 and 8, that thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven or above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Their home training taught them, according to Deuteronomy 5 and 9, that thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So, in other words, their mind had to be made up before they even got to the fiery furnace. So they said, even if not, we're not going to bow down. And it said that the king was so angry, he was so furious, that he had the fiery furnace heated up not one time, not two times, not three times, not four times, not five times, not six times, but seven times hotter than it ought to be heated up. And I'm going to tell you something. It said that the fire was so intense that it consumed the mighty men that went to throw them into the fire.
That's right.
But he had them thrown into the fire. Good God from Zion. Threw them into the fire. It said that they had their hats on. They had their coats on. They had their garments on. They were fully dressed when he had them thrown into the fire. Because I believe he wanted them to know, hey, I want your clothes to melt to your body. I want not only you, but I want everybody to understand that I have the power to destroy you. So that's what he did to them. But I came to encourage somebody that we have to learn that we have to invite Christ into our crises. We have to learn that we have to invite Christ into our tribulation. We have to learn that we have to invite Christ into our circumstance. Because as the songwriter declared, that Jesus will step right in. Just when I need him most. Just when I need him most. I know that he will step right in. Won't he do it for you? Won't God make a way for you? God will do it every time. It says that the king, it said that he was a stone. And he got up in haste. And he looked into the furnace. And he asked the counselors. He said, did not we cast three men bound into the fire? And they said, true, Lord. He said, lo, I see four. And the fourth one has the form of the Son of God. I know that God will do it. I know that he's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, because he's the only wise God, our Savior. To him be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Did not Romans 8 and 31 say that if God be for us, who can be against us? That not, he says in Isaiah, that no weapon, not even a fiery furnace, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Lord, have mercy. No weapon. No weapon. So the king, he called them out of the fire. Oh, he called them out of the fire. Yes, he did. He was in this amazement. Oh, yes, he did. But I want to tell you some good news. Only three came out of the fire. The fourth one that had the form of the Son of God remained in the fire. You may say, what does that have to do with me? Because he's still in the fight. He's awaiting on us. Because all of us going to have our go through. All of us going to have our hard times that we're going to have to deal with. But Jesus has purposely chosen to stay in the fire waiting on me and you. Because he'll step right in. Just when we need him most. But I got to say this, and I know some of you might not know who this is, but you ever heard Paul Harvey? And he says, and for the rest of the story, because God just put in my heart this part here. This, you know, didn't want to leave this out, because we're not always going to have a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego outcome. It's not always going to be like that. And a lot of times people are judging, or they're determining the things that they are going through, that and saying that maybe God is not with me. But we are kept by the power of God. When we are in Christ, we're kept by God's power. The thing about it is, I was listening to this song some years ago, and it was this pastor, he was singing a song, but he was giving his testimony during the song. And he said that two people in his church, two saints of God, were killed in a car accident. And he said he was grieving. He was just praying and telling God, you know, two of my best, two of my best saints. You know, they were always supportive of the ministry, always supported the man of God. And he said never had no trouble with them. And the thing about it, good tithe payers, you know, they knew their obligation, not just only to be here, but they knew that the church had needs. And they didn't have a problem paying their tithes. And he was saying all of this, and he was just grieving. You know, why it had to be them? Why it had to be the best, well, some of the best saints? And, you know, he began to say on, and he was just being real with this. I don't know about you, but I like real.
Yes, sir.
You know, when you can talk about things that don't really, the things that are troubling you, and he was just being open and honest with God. And he was saying, he says, mine started to go there. Why couldn't it have been some of them troublemakers? Why couldn't it have been some of them that kicking against the prick? Why couldn't it have been some of them that always rising up against leadership? And we know that God is sovereign. And God don't owe not one of us an explanation of what he does. God is sovereign, is one who exercises power without limitations. God's absolute right to do all things according to his own good pleasure. So God didn't have to answer him, but he did in his sovereignty. And this is what he said God told him. I took them because they were ready. And I left them so they can get ready. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So a lot of time, I like what they said, because they said God will deliver us. He's going to deliver us. I believe they have made up in their mind that God is going to deliver me one way or the other. He's able to work a miracle and bring us up and out of this fiery furnace. But if not, we're still not going to bow down. I think as Paul said it best, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So God is going to deliver us because we're kept by the power of God. So the next time the thing that you're going through may seem to be overwhelming to you, and you feel that how I'm going to make it out of this, or that God has maybe felt like he's forsaken you, but he's promised in his word that I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you always, even until the end of the earth, because we are kept by the power of God. I think about, Pastor, when you walked away from that 80,000 plus job, a lot of people may have looked and said, man, how in the world is he gonna make it? He may have what people call a small church, but they didn't know that you were kept by the power of God.
Yes, yes, yes.
28 years later, kept by the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, may God bless you. And remember, you're kept by the power of God. In Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Just want to open this invitation for whosoever will to let him come and have everlasting life. God wants to give those that may not know him in the fullness and the power of his might or in the fellowship of his suffering. I'm so thankful that he's still extending this invitation to those that haven't received the new birth experience. I'm going to tell you, we can't make it on our own. It's not by power, not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's the power of God, his spirit that he fills us with, that dwells within us, that gives us the power to live a life that's holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. So the invitation is to you and you, and especially you. The day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. We want to come while the blood is still running warm in our veins. We want to come while we still have the presence of mind to know that we need help, to know that we need God, and that he's able to deliver us. Will you come? Thank you, Jesus. For God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. But he will do exactly what he said he would do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Will you come? If not those that are coming for prayer, just want to pray with you.
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks, because Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise, because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise.